Grace be with all of those who love the Lord Jesus in sincerity. Amen. Today we consider the Word of God as we find it in the Acts of the Apostles, the 8th chapter, beginning there in verse 26, as follows. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in Scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. This is the word of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Savior in whom we believe and whom we preach to others, dear fellow redeemed. Some events that take place in life are so astonishingly unbelievable as to be things that we can hardly credit. And yet they seem to happen on a regular basis. Some years ago, two women arrived at a maternity ward in a large hospital in Tulsa, and they both had baby boys about 4 hours apart from one another. Not so unlikely, you might say. But these two women were not strangers. They had met once before, exactly 2 years earlier to the day when both of them had baby girls on the same day, 1 hour apart, in the same hospital. Another example, some of you are bridge players. What do you think the likelihood is of being dealt a hand that contains all 13 spades in the deck? It's very long odds, actually. The actual statistical likelihood is 630 billion to one. And yet, it seems to happen quite frequently. Bridge expert Oswald Jacoby estimates that it happens at least a dozen times a year in U.S. tournament play alone. Incredibly unlikely things seem to happen with regularity all around us in our world. Some of these things are utterly astonishing. But as Christians, one thing we don't expect to be among them is our evangelism. You know, the way that we reach out to other people with our faith and with the good news of the gospel. We know that we ought to do it. We all want to do it. But I think sometimes we get the wrong picture of evangelism in our minds, as if our personal reaching out and sharing our faith in Christ is always going to follow some kind of well-regulated, predictable pattern. And that's just not true. Our text for today challenges that kind of thinking. It demonstrates to us that the only thing predictable about our outreach with Christ is that it will be completely unpredictable. That's why our theme for this morning is a most unlikely evangelism. You'll find that the Holy Spirit leads you to the most unlikely places, to the most unlikely people, with a message that's totally unlikely, but that often produces astonishing results. We've got some older Christians in our congregation, people whom I know have been sharing their faith for many, many years. You'll know about this. The first thing you find out about sharing the gospel is that sometimes the Holy Spirit has you do it in the most unlikely places, places you never would have guessed you'd be evangelizing. Philip was one of the early evangelists whom the Holy Spirit scattered to the four corners of the then known world when the early Christians were persecuted in Jerusalem. Philip had been spreading the gospel in the area of Samaria, to the north and to the west of Jerusalem, which to him, probably being a Jew, seemed like a very unlikely place to be preaching the gospel in the first place. For as you know, Jews like Philip normally had nothing to do with Samaritans. But now the Holy Spirit gave him what must have seemed to him like a most unlikely assignment. The angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go to the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." And then the interesting comment, "This is desert." We're simply told in the text that Philip arose and went. And it might be that he got up right away and simply went where the Holy Spirit directed him without another thought. I wonder, though, don't you? I wonder if Philip might not have rolled his eyes and said, "Now what? Samaria's not an unlikely enough place to preach the gospel. Now you're sending me out into the middle of the desert? This is desert." And you'll find yourself feeling that way from time to time as well with your personal outreach with the gospel. "Lord, this is desert. How can I possibly share my faith in Christ here, where I work, where I go to school, where I spend my time? It's just really unlikely that I'm ever going to find an opportunity to witness about Jesus here." But remember, ours is a most unlikely evangelism. No matter where you are, there's one thing you can always be certain of. If you're there, God's got work for you to do there. Like Philip, Scripture says the Holy Spirit, in fact, has your work all lined up for you to do already. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And here's something else. The Lord not only sends us to the most unlikely places, he also sends us to some of the most unlikely people. Who did he send Philip to? A man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. A eunuch of great authority, that indicates a very high official in the court of the queen of the Ethiopians. So a very important person. But he was a black man, an African. And how strange do you think that was for Philip? Philip had probably just gotten over the idea that he was to bring the gospel to non-Jewish people as well as Jewish people. And now the Holy Spirit sends him to this foreigner. It must have seemed to him like the most unlikely person that he could evangelize. But he shouldn't have been surprised. And you and I shouldn't be surprised either, because ours is a most unlikely evangelism. The Holy Spirit often sends us to the most unlikely people, to people who don't look anything at all like conservative Lutherans, people who we would never have guessed would have been likely candidates to receive the gospel. Could be the person you're sitting next to on a plane, the person who lives in the apartment next to yours, the person who bags your groceries, or the person who sits across the aisle from you at work. You just don't know. And it really doesn't matter in the end, does it? As one Christian writer said, "Of those of whom we know nothing else, we do know this, that they have souls." They have souls. All the people you meet in the course of your daily life all have the same thing in common. They have souls. Jesus died for them. Philip was sent by the Holy Spirit to an unlikely place and to an unlikely person. But strangest of all was the content of the message that Philip was sent to preach. Philip's and ours is a most unlikely evangelism, thirdly, because we're sent with a totally unlikely message. Philip heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, Do you understand what you are reading? And he said, How can I, unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. The Ethiopian had gotten a hold of a scroll of Isaiah. He had just come back from Jerusalem, where he had gone to worship. Probably indicates that he was what they called a proselyte of the gate. In other words, a foreigner who had converted to the faith of Judaism. He had evidently purchased the scroll of Isaiah, and he was poring over it as he traveled, trying to figure out what it meant. The passage he was reading came from Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. And how strange that must have seemed to him. How unlikely. He was acquainted with the other religions of the world, whose gods were proud and haughty. But who could the prophet possibly be speaking about in this scroll when he describes a lamb going meekly and silently to the slaughter? What sort of religion was this? I wonder if you've ever visited a slaughterhouse. Necessary as they are, there is something chilling and dreadful about the process of turning livestock into food. On one side of the slaughterhouse are pens of lively, healthy animals, and on the other side are trucks carrying meat away. The process is inevitable and relentless. Once the animals meekly start down that last chute, there's no turning back, and there's no question about what's going to happen to them. I would submit to you that that is the exact position we sinful human beings found ourselves in by nature. For the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is what? Death. By nature, we, like all humans, were headed down the dreadful and inevitable path to eternal death, the just punishment for those who sin against God. But then something totally unlikely happened. And this was the content of the message that Philip brought to the Ethiopian. Beginning with the very passage he was reading at the moment, Philip told him about the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He shared with him the incredible good news, the totally unlikely gospel of Jesus Christ. He shared with him the same message I'm sharing with you right now, that God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That instead of sending us down the last chute to the slaughterhouse of eternal death, God, our Heavenly Father, sent his innocent Son, Jesus, in our place. He meekly bowed his head and walked on under the weight of the cross, walked on bearing the terrible burden of the sins of the world, yes, your sins and my sins on his shoulders, walked on all the way to Calvary. And there he died to redeem us. What parent, I ask you, would sacrifice his own innocent child in order to save someone else? Yet that's what God did for us. Paul says, For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It was and remains a most unlikely evangelism. The same wonderful message that the Holy Spirit sent Philip with, he sends you out with as well. You too are to proclaim to others the same blessed message that has saved you. The message that eternal life is available simply by trusting in Jesus, the Savior of sinners. Was Philip's task hard? Well, someone pointed out it was the Holy Spirit who did all the work. It was the Holy Spirit who inspired him. It was the Holy Spirit who sent him exactly where he wanted him to go and exactly to the right person to preach the gospel to. It was the Holy Spirit who worked faith in the heart of the Ethiopian. What really did Philip have to do? Our text says he just opened his mouth and spoke. That's your job too. It's not a complicated job. As Jesus once said, Go and tell what great things God has done for you. You may well react, what can I accomplish? And the answer is, of course, by yourself, nothing. But with the Holy Spirit, there's nothing you can't accomplish. Unlikely as it seems, you will very often find that this message produces astonishing results. Someone pointed out that the chariot by this time was getting pretty crowded. Not only did it contain the Ethiopian and Philip, but now also riding along were the Holy Spirit, the prophet Isaiah, and Jesus himself. The Ethiopian heard the message about Jesus and believed it. The Holy Spirit worked faith in his heart through the word spoken by Philip. When they came to water, the Ethiopian said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. This is about the most unlikely convert to Christianity you could ever imagine. And yet, ours is a most unlikely evangelism. So we shouldn't be surprised when it brings about astonishing results. When you speak the good news about Jesus to people, you'd better stand back because miracles very often occur. To this day, I still find myself astonished by the kind of people that have converted to Christianity, just of my acquaintance, and you can probably say the same thing looking back on your experience. And by the way, we see once again that the Holy Spirit always works his astonishing miracle of faith through the means of grace, the gospel in word and sacraments. He kindled faith in the Ethiopian's heart through the word of God spoken to him by Philip, and which he read out of the scroll of Isaiah. And then the Holy Spirit confirmed him as a member of the kingdom through the sacrament of holy baptism. And when Philip left the Ethiopian, what's the last thing we hear about him? Did you notice? Our text says, he went on his way rejoicing. He went on his way rejoicing. That's one thing we can understand pretty well, isn't it? When you leave the church parking lot this morning, I hope and expect you to go on your way rejoicing. Because this same incredible good news about eternal life through faith in Christ that was preached by Philip to the Ethiopian has been proclaimed to you as well. Your sins, too, are covered. Eternal life is waiting for you, too. You may go on your way rejoicing. In another passage a little later on in that same book of Isaiah, the prophet describes the blessed state of the redeemed believers just like you when he says, "For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." Speaking of things that are unlikely, horse racing is a business that lives or dies on likelihoods, better known, of course, as odds. In the history of horse racing, it would be hard to find a more unlikely hero than Doneraile. Doneraile was a bay gelding that came to the gate of the Kentucky Derby in 1913 at the ridiculously long odds of 91-1. Most racing insiders didn't think the horse should have been included in the field in the first place. But unlikely as it was, Doneraile won by half a length. And if you'd have had the foresight to bet $1,000 on that horse that day, you would have gone home with the incredible sum of almost $100,000. Wouldn't it have been nice to know that ahead of time? I would submit to you, my fellow Christians, that you are involved in a venture that's even less likely than that one, but which bears guaranteed results. That is your personal gospel outreach. It's a most unlikely evangelism, for you'll find the Holy Spirit sending you to the most unlikely places and the most unlikely people with a message, the good news of the gospel, that frankly is totally unlikely. But that's where the unlikelihood stops. For wherever that gospel is preached, from pastors in the pulpit, from neighbors across their back fence, or between employees sitting across a break table at work, wherever that gospel is preached, There, God will accomplish his results. And those results will often be absolutely astonishing. God grant that it may always be so in our lives. Amen. Please rise.